Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 517. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself tonight?
Well, you know, doing a lot of planning for this coming weekend. I will be visiting one of the other infamous co-hosts of this show, Jeremy Mays. And we will be watching some AIW down there, Absolution. It will be a little bit later than the Friday actual, happening. But we do plan on reviewing that one. And yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I did hear John Thorne break down the card with Steve Guy earlier this week. And it does sound like a fun card should be on hand.
Yeah, it definitely does sound like a fun card. I will most likely catch that one live on Friday night. As of this moment, I don't have any plans to do anything otherwise. Just said, no, looks like a good card, a good mix of talent. Maybe a little too many gimmick matches, but we'll see. I mean, obviously the AEW style definitely does trend more towards blood and guts, as Vince McMahon coined on a conference call last week, talking about another wrestling promotion with similar initials. It should be a good show. I'm looking forward to it. AEW has hit two home runs already with their live streams this year, and I think that they will again.
Yeah, so there is that little bit of pre-planning that I can just check off right here at the top of the show. We had, as usual here, though, on this show, tend to talk more about the WWE than any other company, and today is not going to be any different.
No. You talk about our pre-planning. That was pretty much the only thing we talked about earlier today, because how on earth could you pre-plan for the attempted murder of Roman Reigns?
And that was one of the hokiest segments that I have seen in quite some time.
What, you didn't appreciate Caleb Braxton's acting?
And even like the... Like, I think it was supposed to make it more dramatic with the cutaway right before it fell on Roman Reigns to, like, the far shot or the behind shot. And it just didn't seem like the right choice to me.
Yeah. Very cinematic views, point of view they were trying to go for there. Some people on Twitter are already comparing it to the WCW White Hummer angle, and of course, this is supposed to be the first week Eric Bischoff is fully in charge, or at least in training to be fully in charge. So maybe not surprising that a classic, if Raw featured many classic elements of a Paul Heyman produced wrestling show. That was certainly a classic element of a Eric Bischoff produced wrestling show.
And I feel bad for SmackDown if that is going to be the case, if these trends continue, because I guess I really did not hate the show up to that point.
It was a pretty good show. I mean, I didn't. That I mean, once again, there's hokey elements to it, and there's a way that you can absolutely pay it off. Although we're 12 days from SummerSlam, so there's not much more. It was a setup Roman Reigns' match at SummerSlam. You're really not dragging out a mystery for very long. I mean, only until next week.
Right,
and I think a situation like this would call for a more dragged out mystery of who tried to take out Roman Reigns, than to have Samoa Joe come out on Raw Monday and say, "Ha ha ha, it was me, Roman."
Yeah, and honestly,
which I picture is what we're gonna get.
And that's still kind of weird, because as much as Samoa Joe is not above pulling a sneak attack, I guess attempted murder through throwing questionable items at one Mr. Roman Reigns just does not seem like the thing that Samoa Joe would do. You know?
I don't know. He's been pretty diabolical. It's not entirely out of character.
But no. Yeah. He's not above kind of attacking someone from behind, but he usually does it person on person. I guess he doesn't ever seem to use weaponry of any kind. You know, they haven't ever kind of stuck him with, you know, his own sledgehammer or, you know, chair or something like that someone always seems to go to.
Right. Yeah, no. So, I get your point there, but, you know, it was, you know, something they decided to do. Once again, is that if it's just to get Roman Reigns an opponent at SummerSlam and then move on from it, it's kind of a waste. Go there with a storyline like that. I mean, right now, I mean, this SummerSlam card is already 11 matches deep, and they haven't even made Nakamura versus Ali official yet. There's still three tag team championships without and a cruiserweight championship without matches at SummerSlam.
Oh my gosh!
No wait.
I haven't looked at the card. I will be completely honest, I haven't looked at the card.
It is 10 matches because Roman Reigns did not complete his SummerSlam challenge. Okay, so it's only 10 matches official. But it could be potentially up to 15 then.
Yeah, that's a lot of matches.
That is a lot of matches. That's why I just say on Twitter, the show is going to be 15 matches and go past midnight, isn't it? Including the pre-show.
Oh.
So on the main show, it would only be 12.
Oh, well, right.
Only 12 in 5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, that's still a pretty tight schedule. You know, 12 matches in that time frame. With all the video packages and what else they do at such events. Because I always feel like we're in for a skit or two during a SummerSlam level event.
I didn't even throw in a 24/7 championship hijinks either.
Oh, yeah.
Which essentially takes up its own, it might be its own match length, you know, series of skits.
Yeah, that is a good call. I mean, that would be a good interrupter between some of these matches. Yeah, the WWE knows how to at least keep content going. I will give them that.
Oh, they do not know how to do that.
whether it's good or not is definitely more the question. From week to week these days. The Reigns angle was kind of hokey, but I guess I do end up agreeing with you. Like, if it's just something to a short feud, it's kind of weird. I'm not even sure.
It feels like something that should drag out and be Roman's big feud for, you know, months.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to go here.
Yeah, I don't... I guess that's where they go? Or no, you said that you think they're just going to go with the Samoa Joe did it
situation. Yeah, I can see them doing that. Samoa Joe did it, and then Roman Reigns just beats him again at SummerSlam because Lord knows Samoa Joe can't win a big match. But they keep giving, but they keep giving him big matches to diminishing returns.
Yeah, I mean, both him and Drew McIntyre have just taken just too many L's, man. Like, as much as both, and both of them have done a great job keeping their heat as much as they can with how they act and their promos, that wears off at some point, though, when you're just constantly taking L's. There's no two ways about it. And I mean, McIntyre is not probably in as deep as Samoa Joe is, because I mean, I know that Joe had that little injury break, but other than that, like, almost his full main roster run has just been big losses.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's had short runs with the Intercontinental United States Championships, I believe.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'm not even sure if he's... Has he won both?
I think so, but I'm not positive, and I don't feel like looking on Twitter yet, or on Wikipedia, but I will.
I'll do that right now.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, he's had the minor titles, or he's had at least one minor title a couple of times. And, but I don't feel like either reign has
been... No, he's only held the U.S. title twice.
Oh, okay.
That was just this year.
Yeah, well, and neither run has, we've been back to the IC / US title has not helped anyone in a long time situation. You know,
especially this year, they're changing them both, the titles both too much. It's hard to keep up with, and then they throw in the wild card thing, so they could both be on the same show, and it gets confusing as to who's which champion and who's feuding with who and who's lost to who. Yeah, it's. It's a little bit. It's a bit of a mess right now. And yes, Samoa Joe has absolutely. You know, he's done well, but you know, we're now to the point where he has just lost too many big matches. I think, and he really should not have. He shouldn't have lost that match on Raw Reunion to Roman Reigns at all, clean in the middle, if they were going to continue the feud.
Oh. Yeah.
That should be wrestling booking 101 right there. but apparently in today's WWE it absolutely is not. But once again, maybe they'll surprise us and drag out something and it'll lead somewhere interesting. But I'm not going to be that optimistic.
Well, and I guess I was just already thinking, like, who's in a position to be that person if it isn't Samoa Joe? And I don't know who it is. You know? I don't know if I want to know who it is, you know? With all the wild cards, like, that's been one of those things that it really has. I'm to the point where I'm confused about who's supposed to be where.
Oh yeah, it is definitely confusing. I mean, I know Roman Reigns is supposed to be on SmackDown every week, but he's on both, or sometimes he's not even on SmackDown and he's only on Raw. So it, you know, because he's seen as the biggest star in the company. So they want him on both shows during what they feel is a bad time for ratings. So it's understandable, but yeah, I totally understand that that it gets confusing who's supposed to be on whose show, because they started the wild card immediately after the last shakeup, and you know, way before anyone had gotten comfortable on their new shows. So yeah, no,
it barely, and I mean barely, register merits a mention that they're a Raw and or SmackDown person, conversely. Like, I feel like they mention it once a show, but it's not even all that frequent of a thing.
Yeah, no. Hopefully we after SummerSlam, heading into the first weekend in October, we get back some uniqueness to the shows, and especially as far as rosters is concerned. Yeah. I mean, right now we know WWE is in a major transition phase. I mean, even this upcoming SummerSlam lineup is, you know, nothing special so far at all.
There isn't a match that I'm sitting there going, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, there really
and
isn't. I mean,
they have 10 confirmed matches already, and there's not one of them in the lineup that I'm like, man, I can't wait for that thing?
No. There's really nothing at all. I mean, the closest would probably be Orton and Kofi. Someone that, you know, they're doing a good job with. I mean,
yeah.
They definitely did a. I mean, we're jumping around a little. They definitely did a major heat angle last night with Brock and Seth. That at least helped that match out. But other than that, yeah, nothing's really gotten me excited. I mean, and probably the worst offenders are the women's championship, or both of the women's championship storylines, in my opinion.
Oh my God! Because I'm not sure if I tweeted that, but Tom Phillips pointing out that Bayley was being a bitch for no good reason. It's just, you know, the WWE, and I think, you know, I've mentioned this, they noticed that, you know, kind of baby faces acting heelish have gotten them cheered. But they kind of forget that the baby faces still kind of had the moral high ground in the situations that they did that in. Or at least some reason for doing it. And they've mistaken it for the baby faces just being completely condescending and being bitches to try and keep it alive. And the weird thing is, at least, I mean, and Alexa Bliss pointed it out. She's like, really? You're cheering for this? And I mean, you heard the crowd cheering for it. I'm like, well, it's kind of working at least. Like, I think it's terrible, but it's kind of working. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of, it's kind of working. I mean, Becky is still going to be, I mean, they've hurt Becky a lot. Since WrestleMania, we've gone over it, and feuding with Natalya is not helping. And then as far as Bayley is concerned, you know, Bayley does have a reason to be upset with Ember Moon, because Bayley helped Ember last week, and then Ember just hit her with the Eclipse. So I guess Ember had, you know, the Bayley to belly coming. It's just having her lose clean to Alexa Bliss, basically. And I don't know what. There was definitely something's off with WWE production. I mean, if the deal was supposed to be that Nikki Cross sacrificed herself for Alexa Bliss in taking the Eclipse, they totally missed Nikki Cross pushing Alexa out of the way, which I believe is what Tom Phillips was trying to sell, but the camera missed it completely.
Okay, I thought that was kind of awkward too. I'm glad that I'm not the only one. Or because I felt like I had missed something myself.
Yeah, because it came off like Ember was just completely outsmarted and just defeated decisively by Alexa Bliss. Which, even if you add in the part about Nikki Cross, she was still, you know, beaten pretty decisively. So, Alexa Bliss is being put in that match, which they do not need that. That match does not need that at all. Ember being beat up after the match by Bayley with the Bayley to belly. Yeah, I mean, Ember absolutely looked like a complete fool when she was already, you know, patted on the head and handed this title match by Bayley.
Well, yeah, and I
And then
mean,
won a quick fluke over Charlotte last week, as well.
yeah, that's, and I guess that's the other aspect. Like, Bailey, man, it's okay to give her an edge, but like, she really was like, she did everything but literally pat Ember Moon on the head. And it's just like, man, like,
Both of the and both of the women. Oh, go ahead. Finish your one. I'm sorry.
You know, it might not hurt her right now, and it might not hurt Becky Lynch right now, but you know, in the long run, it's not going to. Like, it's gonna turn on them at some point.
Yeah, both of the women's championship storylines are babyface versus babyface matches, where no one is acting like any kind of a babyface. They're all
Oh.
being mean, rude, and condescending, and back talking, and back jumping. Yeah, it's been very poorly done. Both feuds are similar, and they're both similar in all the wrong ways.
And then I guess to kind of keep on track of the women, I guess the Trish and Charlotte thing is kind of interesting, and I guess it goes to show that the women's division is kind of weird without Charlotte Flair around.
Yeah, it is, and it was definitely, yeah. I mean, there really is no good reason for Charlotte to not be facing Bayley for the women's champions at SummerSlam. I mean, that you'll that to take her off of two main pay, the two B shows and give her a couple months, a little bit of a rest on TV. That's one thing, but to not have her back in the title mix on the second biggest show in the year, and to have to bring Trish Stratus out of retirement to give her something worthwhile to do. It's yeah. I don't really get it at all.
Yeah, 'cause it also seems like one of those things where, you know, Bailey's kind of had the belt for a little bit now, and she's won the belt under some somewhat nefarious circumstances. It would benefit her to have a clean win over Charlotte.
Yeah, it definitely was. So yeah, I'm not totally getting why they had to go with kind of pulling Ember Moon out of really
Obscurity.
I guess obscurity. I mean, but she'd been on the show most weeks the last couple of months, and then having to literally bring Trish Stratus, literally almost literally bringing her from obscurity, and it is they've used Trish, obviously quite a bit in the last year. Obviously, Evolution.
Oh.
It's interesting to see that crowds do not treat her like a returning legend. She gets modest reactions when she shows up. Obviously, in her hometown of Toronto, that will be different. I mean, that will
Right.
be the one. The match is at least taking place in the right place. So for Trish, but yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like the women of that era, not is Trish was supposed to be the greatest woman of the previous era, and it's just
Yeah, I agree with you. She does seem to get some tepid responses.
yeah.
In general, like, yeah, like you said, for being the best of that generation, and especially like there was a little bit of a dry spell after her,
Yeah,
you know, and
there was a huge. Yeah, absolutely. When her and Lita both retired within months of each other, in the same, within months of each other, that was, the beginning of the end of the women's division for nearly for nearly 10 years. Trish and Lita were definitely the driving force of the women's division.
So,
Although, I feel like when Lita comes back around, people do re react to her stronger than they react to Trish.
It might be the case. It might be pretty close,
Yeah.
and it might be Lita's association with the Hardys that helps
Yeah.
her a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though that kind of wasn't as regular of a thing as it really was, I feel like that was just the beginning of her career, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the beginning of her career, but then I guess her career wasn't
All
all
that long
her main
either.
part of her career wasn't all that long, and neither was Trish's for that matter. I mean, they made their sporadic returns over the years, but no, it's again, it's something said. It's always been done as something to give Charlotte something to do at SummerSlam. And, at least it's a third women's match on the main card, I guess. After feeling like the women haven't gotten feature roles. I mean, even if the storylines are a little meh, at least there's going to be at least three, if not four, women's championship women's excuse me, women's matches at SummerSlam, depending on what happens with the women's tag team titles.
Oh, right. Oh. I honestly forget that those things exist.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see the thing, the video they put on Twitter of the Iconics leaving the building because Billy Kay was sick with the puppy flu. So that's why their match against Manny and Sonya didn't that was advertised last week didn't actually happen.
Okie dokie. Yep. I mean, yeah, I don't get inventing something when you're just patently not going to care about it.
I don't get it either.
It's all there is to it. Like, if you weren't convinced that it was a good thing, why did you pull the trigger? And if it had lasted like a year or something before things went downhill, there might be a little more something to it. But, it's been 2 months. It lasted two, the tag titles lasted until WrestleMania and then died a swift death.
That they did. Yeah, no. I mean,
And it's not really
in
the
that regard,
Iconics'
yeah,
fault.
go ahead.
And oh no, I was just gonna say it's not really the Iconics' fault either. Like
No. I
I'm
mean,
not gonna
they
blame
are
them.
doing the best that they can with what they. Jeez, did I just.
Nope, you're
Nope.
still here.
Okay. No, I. There we go. There we go. We're all right. No, I mean, the Iconics are doing the absolute best they can with what they have. I mean, they pretty much take a camera around or their own phone cameras around and do whatever they can do to get attention, to get to do their comedy segments. They're really funny. I mean, they're enjoyable in that sense.
Oh.
They very much go into business for themselves to make up for the fact for the lack of actual television time that they get.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, good for them. I guess maybe I'll have to maybe pay a little more attention to them on ye olde Twitter to catch some of these segments. yeah, I mean, since it's mostly TV for me at this time, it does them zero favors. So, there's that. Yeah. Phew, man. But yeah, Charlotte, and I guess that's the other thing. Charlotte and Trish should be a good match.
Yeah, I'm sure Trish will be motivated. I'm sure Charlotte will be her usual good self. So yeah, no, that match should, the match it should be fine.
Yeah, so at least there is that much that that it should be a solid match. I'm trying to think of what other matches may have been set up on the SmackDowns tonight for SummerSlam.
Well, the big match between Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. Woo!
Yep.
I mean, everything that they've been doing with Ziggler, the Shawn Michaels deal last week, the references to Goldberg that have come out that have come out of nowhere, twice in 2 days, and the matches with The Miz. Maybe something more will come of it, and something will happen where Ziggler will get his beyond just a match with The Miz, but from some of the aforementioned legends, he's insulted and assaulted. But yeah, it's not. That's definitely not feeling like a well, like a. I mean, they've had good matches before. They've had good angles before. But at both of their places on the depth chart right now, I'm definitely not feeling this is a SummerSlam match.
Yeah, I would not argue if this is on the pre-show, but I just think that The Miz is still too big of a star to get pushed to that point, in my
We'll see. I mean,
estimation.
and if that there is shenanigans involving, say, HBK and or Goldberg or what have you, Ziggler getting his, I guess at that point it's worth its spot on the main card. I mean,
Oh.
hopefully, I mean, hopefully the match itself doesn't go very long before we get there, because it really is a nothing happening match on an already long show.
Yeah, I think that it will be a shortish match.
And then another match that will very possibly be shortish. Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn. Aleister Black returned to his dark room to beg for another fight. But at least this time, the challenge was, the door was knocked on immediately.
Yeah, don't even know what to say at this point. Like, it's one of those things where I'm okay with weird promos. And I'm okay, I think we've always said that, we want to kind of see a diversity in how they let people talk. And I guess if you want to have Aleister Black in a dark room all the time, sure, go for it. But the whole challenging for a match thing is so weird. Like, he's not in anybody to be in a position to challenge. Still, like, I know he beat Cesaro and all, but I guess why is he the only person on the roster that gets to choose his own matches or challenge anyone? Like, why isn't he just being put in a match like everyone else is? I guess I'm just confused by the whole thing.
No, I agree. I mean, it's the whole thing is that it's kind of silly. He's no one has anything to gain by beating him. He's the one. He's just waiting for people to come to him. It's definitely it's a weird way to build him up. I don't know. I mean, once again, I mean, Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn. I mean, there's no way that shouldn't be a bad match.
Oh, right.
But once again, but on a what's building to be a fairly bloated show. I mean, a match like that with no stakes. It's gonna be one of those matches. It's like, let's just get it'll be about halfway through the show, and it'll be like, let's just get this over quickly. Actually, running out of the car, there's not a lot of matches I see getting that much time. So maybe this SummerSlam will be a series of fast paced quick matches that don't stay that don't outstay their welcome.
I don't see that one being any more than 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Or,
Yeah,
well,
there's no
I'd
reason to do
say
it, me.
7 to 10, just because most pay-per-view matches aren't that short.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I really did, I purposely bundled those two matches together to talk about them because it's, there are these two matches that just kind of just being thrown on the card, with nothing on the line, no stakes to them at all, and they're just, padding the card, really.
Yeah, and I guess one of the other ones, and to kind of stick with one of the themes I had going there, the promos, I think we're fully entrenched in getting Firefly Funhouse promos and it would seem the Fiend in the ring for execution of matches.
That is the best option to go with. I appreciate that. I appreciate that they're doing the mix of, the Firefly Funhouse stuff with the appearances by the Fiend in the arena. I think that's good. Once again, I've championed so much. I've championed the idea of having every once in a while, sometimes, Bray Wyatt at ringside in the Mr. Rogers get up while somebody else with a similar body type is in the ring as the Fiend. Maybe they'll go there, maybe they won't. But no, it's good. I mean, I just did not want them to waste everything they did with the Firefly Funhouse by just getting rid of it and it only being the Fiend. So no. What they're doing with Bray Wyatt and with the Fiend and with the mix of the Firefly Funhouse and the Fiend is, it's pretty good stuff. We'll see what happens with, we'll see what happens when that bell rings and Bray Wyatt has to wrestle in that getup.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I would hope that he's tested that out on house shows to know how that's going to roll. But I check house show results even less than I check spoilers.
Yeah, I don't think I don't I haven't been I have not been as good about that either. And yeah, I but from what I gather, I still don't think he I still don't think he's wrestling regularly in house shows. So that'll be
Oh.
interesting to watch. I mean,
Okay.
and I'm not just saying that, in the getup and in the mask, which I mean, I assume the mask is, allows him proper vision and proper breathing. I mean, it looks like something they spent some good amount of money on, so I assume it has good practical. They considered practical functionality when they were creating it.
Yeah, I would really hope so. But like you said, you never kind of completely know until you know.
I was more talking about, once again, what is Bray Wyatt gonna is Bray Wyatt just gonna go out there and do all the old Bray Wyatt moves and just be Bray Wyatt in a mask? That's the question that's gonna be answered at SummerSlam. I mean,
Oh.
Finn Balor's a good opponent for anyone to have. I mean, hopefully they don't, it doesn't look like they're gonna kill the demon, and it's just gonna
Oh.
be the extraordinary man who does extraordinary things.
Right.
Out there does, lose to the Fiend.
Yeah. So that's it seems like things are I guess I'd prefer to not see Balor take a break just because I feel like the guy hasn't had a gotten his quote unquote break in the WWE, but maybe he'll come back all the better after this little vacation. So yeah, and I mean it is a good way to get another top heel kind of in the company.
Absolutely.
At least to
The company that,
re-cement him.
yeah. Bray Wyatt definitely needs to be a come, you know, come out of all this a top heel, or what has all this been for?
And I guess the only other thing that was on SmackDown that I can think of off the top of my head that's worth talking about, and it kind of obviously straddles with what happened on Raw. As much as I like the idea of the OC with Ben McKenzie having all the belts, it's just the fact that I'm like, ah, man, this kind of ruins, not ruins, but maybe downgrades a little bit what the New Day just accomplished by having all the belts in their little faction.
I get it. I mean, and tonight they certainly had the well. I mean, tonight that you know, they certainly had the New Day assert their dominance and Kofi assert their dominance. So,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if it's if I see that in it, but it definitely feels like, you know, Anderson and Gallows are getting this push. You know, getting the tag belts because the Revival still hasn't re-signed. I don't know that for a fact, but it feels like you know, something that came about because okay, we need to get we need to get these things off the Revival now.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as they've done a little bit to transform the Revival, they still weren't seeing the TV time that an associate of Shane McMahon was getting for the most part.
Yeah, no, they really weren't. I mean, if they made it up in their own mind, they want to go to the AEW and have their feud with the Young Bucks, you know, more power to them. But yeah, I mean, WWE gave them. I guess you could say they gave them like kind of a half-ass push. Over the last 6 months, you know, they won the tag titles twice. You know, since the beginning of the year, you know, they have had, you know, two title reigns, won some matches, lost some matches. You know, I mean, doing better than they were last year, but still, I could see them, you know, feeling that it's still not, you know, a great faith push, if you want to say it like that.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and even kind of bouncing back a little bit to the women's tag team titles, because the Young Bucks are, executive vice presidents, and they have shown zero want to break up as a singles, and break into singles action. There's just going to be more of an emphasis on tag team wrestling in AEW, I think, just by nature.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've brought that up before. So yeah, no. AEW should be a you know, kind of a Shangri-La for tag teams, at least in the short term. Now, whether you know any tag team's really gonna get over the Young Bucks, that's a you know that's a question for you know we're gonna find out the answer to that if you know. I mean, there are certainly questions about whether or not AEW is going to be used as a vanity vehicle for the members of the Elite, and you know, are other teams going to be allowed to, you know, get over on the all that strongly on the Young Bucks?
If they're smart, if any of them are
Yeah, of
smart,
course.
they will lose at some juncture. Yeah, I mean, I guess they already have a better, or at least more coherent tag team division than the WWE at this juncture. And despite the fact that the WWE still has some pretty damn good tag teams, in it.
Yeah, definitely does still have some damn good tag teams, although right now it doesn't look like anything really much going on with the tag teams. I mean, we've got one more week left before SummerSlam, and no real. I mean, they just changed the Raw Tag Team Championships on an episode of Raw, and Anderson Gallows. I mean, they kind of continued something with the Usos last night. So if they want to throw that as a kickoff match, I guess. I guess they can do that. I'm not sure if it's at this point is strong enough to make the main show, but then I guess there maybe, as we were talking about, there's probably a number of matches that may or may not be strong enough. You could argue about being strong enough to make the main show. So we shall see where that all goes. I mean, Big E and Xavier have absolutely no competition right now. They really have no challengers being built up at all. They did absolutely nothing tonight. I mean, this is where, you know, during the course of the week, they promised a non-title match where Big E and Xavier would face Drew McIntyre and Elias, and then the show changed. Probably the show seemed like it changed a couple times throughout the week, and Drew McIntyre ended up jobbing to Kevin Owens. Elias wasn't on the show at all, and Big E and Xavier just accompanied Kofi to the ring. So yeah, and the second to last SmackDown before SummerSlam, they gave them no direction at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was kind of, and not to speak too much of it, but that was one of the more surprising elements to me of the Trish Stratus Charlotte thing, is how it even with, you know, a week and a half to go or whatever, 12 days to go, it still seemed pretty last minute-y.
Yeah,
to add to such a big show.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's SummerSlam doesn't feel that big. I mean, we're, you know, they're kind of, it all feels kind of thrown together. The matches that they announced the first week in build after Extreme Rules, it just, you know, Brock and Seth again, Kofi and Randy Orton is probably among the best options they could have gone with for the WWE Championship. We've talked about the Women's Championships, matches, oh, you know, both of them feeling pretty hollow, and nothing exciting at all. That definitely feels like a company, you know, SummerSlam is being sacrificed so they can make the big changes in the fall.
Yeah, and I guess it is something that we haven't talked about that I think you alluded to. Brock Lesnar's big beatdown of that, Seth Rollins on Raw.
That was a hell of a beatdown. No, I mean, credit to Brock for being that beast, again, you know.
Yeah, I think it was finally one of those times where they're already doing a better job of booking Seth Rollins as a challenger than they ever did as a champion.
Yeah. They absolutely have. They absolutely did.
Because if that does not get you sympathy, there's no angle that should get you sympathy.
No. It was strong. In fact, maybe it's so strong. It's almost. It's in the column of non-believable that Seth could come back in under 2 weeks and provide a challenge to Brock, but I imagine that unless it's revealed that Seth's going to be too injured to compete and Brock is the one who tried to kill Roman Reigns, I imagine they're still going through with the match between Brock and Seth.
Yeah, and that was the one thing I was going to say about that. I'm like, man, are they like, and it's one of those things where I know that I've been tweeting about it more on the @StuntGranny account, is just like, that's one of those things that in New Japan, if a beatdown like that happened, there is either A, the person would not make that match, or B, they would definitely lose it indefinitely in short order because, you know, they were beat down that bad, you know, and yeah, they were still injured. And in the WWE, like, I'm just sitting there going, Yeah, no, seriously, he should not have a match. You know, like the beating that Rollins took, like there's no one that should come back from that in 13 days, I guess, since it took place on Monday.
They should have done that. They probably should have done that at Extreme Rules, really, to really have it at home. And then Seth does not appear on in the arena. You know, they
Oh.
do him. You know, they show him preparing to get back. They do stuff, you know, on location, and maybe he doesn't come back until the last week. But no, they do it. You know, with less than 2 weeks. Yeah, it's a rough call, but. I mean, they've done stuff like this before. I mean, once again, it will get Seth some sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine there's a very good chance that they'll turn the match into some kind of an anything goes affair. Because after that, I mean, are they really gonna have are they really gonna have a wrestling match after that? I mean,
And a
that's the thing.
pay-per-view called
This is.
Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing. It's like if Seth, you know, returns on Monday, you know, he needs to cut the promo of his life, and then he needs to head into SummerSlam and, you know, not do all of his, you know, 50, you know, 56, you know, flips and somersaults and dives, and then go ow ow my ribs, and then go back to, you know, Seth has to show up to SummerSlam to fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they're gonna make this work, I mean, Seth has to, you know, get out of, you know, cool moves mode and get into and enter into his own version of you know, beast mode, let's just say.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
That baby face fire.
Because it would make it, his win at WrestleMania, it got a good reaction because everyone was tired of Lesnar being champion, but it wasn't a particularly long match.
No, I mean, I kind of like, because I kind of like how they did it, and
Yeah.
because in actuality, Brock and Seth have, even if you go back to a match, the match they had years and years ago when Seth was still a heel, and they had a
Oh,
5-minute match where that Undertaker interrupted,
yeah.
Brock and Seth have still, in that entire time, never had a full length one-on-one match. Because most of the action between Brock and Seth at WrestleMania this year took place before the bell rang. How that match was structured, and that was structured, you know, well. And you know, if Brock had chosen to have that be his farewell, and he did decide to return to UFC, it would have been a fine farewell. But now Brock is back; he's the Universal Champion again. And he needs a, you know, they need to, you know, re-put him, you know, last night did a great job of putting him back in the role of the Beast, you know, just, you know,
Oh, yeah.
that, the guy, you know, who, you know, shit gets real when Brock shows up. You know, that was definitely a callback to, you know, Brock of a few years ago.
Yeah, 'cause as much as he's been kind of fun at coming out and being grin and jump around guy, you didn't quite get the ass kicking as much. You know, it's of course, it didn't help that they kind of gave him a lot of smaller opponents recently, so they've just kind of leaned on the fact that he's the bigger guy, you know, whether it's been Rollins or AJ Styles, and I feel like it was someone else,
Daniel
some
Bryan,
Daniel Bryan.
Finn Balor.
Yeah, so it's been all people that you didn't really need to show the vicious side, I guess, of Brock Lesnar, but it was something that was probably missing to help convince some people that, he is the badass that he really is.
Yeah, I mean, this match needed that angle. I mean, just the question is, you know,
the timing.
If they should have done it, you know, weeks ago, so that it's more, you know, Seth's, you know, return to fight back is a little more believable. But they're doing it the way that they're doing it. As I said, you know, there's two parts. I mean, the match needed it. The show absolutely needs a shot in the arm. It needs to, you know. I mean, you know, Rousey's gone. She's not coming back. Nothing else on the show really feels all that special. You know, Brock is it, and Seth is his opponent, and they did the big heat beatdown angle, and now, you know, Seth, you know, needs to show up at, well, Seth needs to show up on Raw, you know, fired up with you know, the promo of his life, as I said, and then, you know, Seth needs to show up, you know, with fire in his eyes and to burn it down and have a big fight with Brock, and of course, Brock also, for his part, needs to be motivated at SummerSlam as well. motivated Brock needs to show up, which it looks like it will.
Yeah, and I guess I don't feel like there's been that much of a major Brock problem, honestly, in his recent matches. Like, even that, you know, Seth Rollins match, like it, like you said it perfectly. Like that's the way they decided to structure that match. And I'm trying to think of the last time I remember,
it was all action. There's nothing lazy about it. It was just short.
Yeah, and I feel like he had a somewhat decent match the last time he had a lengthy match with maybe
Balor.
Oh, Balor. I was gonna say Styles, but Balor's probably right.
Styles was the year before Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay.
But no. I mean, Brock in the last year has had some good outings. So, you know, the days of Brock sleepwalking his way through, you know, suplexing guys, it appears to be over for now. I mean, he appears to be pretty motivated and engaged. I mean, you know, even when he was doing, you know, goofy Brock stuff with the briefcase, and now that he's the champion again, and he's, you know, faced with this challenge of Seth, he busted out the vicious beatdown, and it is definitely what the show needed.
Yeah, and I guess I'm trying to see if there's anything else from Raw that is worth mentioning. And I'm not sure that there is.
No, I mean, I don't.
You know, I guess there's, you know, we've kind of touched on the tag teams. Ricochet's the only one maybe to talk about, I think, that's left. You know, him and AJ Styles have a match, which, you know, I guess was another thing that made it pretty weird to me, that AJ was overtaking on the Kofi Kingston, essentially.
Yeah, I mean,
on SmackDown.
I mean, that was just a time filler thing. I mean, that they just needed a TV main event. And I guess Ricochet just didn't pull his wild card this week to show up on SmackDown. So there's that. Yeah, I mean, once again, Ricochet, another situation where they had to, you know, do some work around some shenanigans to get the former champion his rematch anyway.
Yep. It's, I was glad, and I guess that's something that I didn't even think about until you just said it that way. Was that it does seem like they have finally on Raw put an end to the whole silly commercial break nonsense.
Yes. Oh, was that was very welcome. Yes.
And because at first I'm like, oh no, this is all lining up for, you know, just a break in the match. But, no, they did it a second time later in the show. And, you know, I said it in the almost live, definitely half-assed, post there that, you know, it's fine to avoid trying to have action take place during the break. But when you make that like one of your main creative priorities, it's a problem.
Yeah, no. I mean, if having to choose between doing what they were doing and then and just having to have, a match take place during the break and, do a 2 minute chin lock, so that the TV audience doesn't actually miss anything. Just get the audience in the arena. Just bore the audience for 2 minutes with a 2 minute chin lock and get back to business. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, these guys know how to fill time during a match. Yeah, I mean, nothing much can happen. Like, they know when the commercial break's coming, so I would hope they wouldn't plan too many high spots during the match.
Right. No.
When they were looking over things. But yeah, I was pretty happy with the demise of that this week.
Yeah, because
Minimize, sure. If you want to have a best two out of three falls every now and again, sure, I guess, to get around it. We don't want four of them every week. Like, it's fucking nonsense.
it was absolute nonsense, yes, and I'm glad it's gone, so if that was finally Paul Heyman's and possibly even Eric Bischoff's influence getting through, we thank you, gentlemen.
I don't know. Have you been watching any of the New Japan at all?
I have definitely watched a good amount of New Japan. I'm kind of slowing down now. I mean, it does. G1 does get to the point where it's just like you're watching the same wrestlers have, similar style matches, for 4 weeks straight, so across 19 shows. So I'm slowing down a little bit right now. I mean, obviously next weekend's the finale, so I'll certainly be back up for that by that time. But no, I mean, I've certainly seen some good stuff. I especially thought, I think Jon Moxley's having a really good tournament. Interesting that you have both Moxley and Okada, being undefeated in the tournament, especially as it's heading into the as we're more than halfway through, it's heading into the home stretch to
Yeah.
have two undefeated guys on in each block.
Yeah, because it does seem like everyone seems to catch at least one L. Even if they get to the finals, it doesn't seem like anyone goes through clean
Yeah,
from what I've seen from, I've kind of caught, because I was taping like all the old New Japans, I was catching some, previous years' G1s and kind of just blowing through them. And yeah, it always seems like someone at least got a loss. 'Cause I think Okada was 8-1 in the 1 year, and Tanahashi, I believe, was his opponent. He was 7-2.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Okada and Moxley both have to be heading towards losses, at least one or two losses, because I think if they, I think based on the math, if at least one of them gets one more win, then no one can catch up.
Oh, yeah.
Or I should say one more win before the final. Before the final day of each block,
Right.
then no one can catch up. And there's like three matches left for each, so three or four matches left for each. So yeah, I could see there being, because you need to have some parity for the final days.
Yeah,
So I
you've
could
got
see
to have
some,
some level of interest other than these two are definitely going to the final.
Yeah, and I'm not totally sure if that's gonna end up being the match. It might be, it might not be.
Oh, right.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure some of the other front runners in each block are gonna catch up. Ibushi, Tanahashi, Naito. The guys that
Are
are
typically at the top of the card.
consistently pushed at the top of the card, maybe even I don't know. I think Switchblade. Well, actually, I think Switchblade and Aito are both doing actually very poorly in this tournament. But I have a feeling that's by design, so they can, you know, at least one of them can catch up, you know, down the home stretch. I mean,
oh, yeah, I know my boy Sonata is not catching up down the home stretch.
No, but he does have a match with Okada in the next couple of days, next couple of shows, so.
And
they have made an issue of, you know, he's had his matches with Okada, but he's never beaten him, and you know, maybe he'll be the guy to catch a quick one on Okada and Okada's streak.
That would be pretty nice. And I've tried to catch as much as I could, but I'm not sure all of the ones that I've caught. It is kind of like, well, I don't think you need to have like a weekly thing. Like, that is, it gets to be a lot of wrestling to try to squeeze that in too.
And oh, I yeah, it, do... it does. And I'm totally, as I said, I'm at that point where, you know, it's the tournament's at its midway point, so I'm probably not going to watch too much. Although I think on Thursday's B Block show, they're running Moxley versus Yano as one of the matches, and that has me perversely intrigued at how and Yano is the guy who
he's been catching some quick ones on a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yano can catch the victories over some of the front runners. So maybe that is, you know, you have, you know, that's somebody Moxley can use to under dubious circumstances to stop his streak. So yeah, no, that's a match I'm looking forward to. I don't really know. I haven't looked at anything else that's coming up. I mean, there's been some good stuff already.
Because it, like you said, like it gets a. I think it should be noted, as per your edict, Access TV has realized that those tag team matches are bullshit, and they only air the 2 hours of singles wrestling that takes place.
Yeah, no. I mean, they only even aired the first night's tag matches because they were doing it live. But you know, yeah, from here on out, yeah. Access will not be airing the tag matches, and New Japan World, you know, skip. I mean, it's kind of nice that it seems like they time it out so that the tag matches are done like at just about the top of the second hour, so that way you.
Oh.
You can plan your fast forwarding effectively.
Yeah, it rolls over by five or so minutes sometimes, but it is a pretty easy spot to just head to right away and catch those singles matches. But yeah, I mean, those days come so quick and so fast that it's just like, nope, don't have time for quite all of these. And yeah, what I have caught's been great, man. Like I really enjoy it. And you know, when you catch an L in New Japan, it actually matters. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely kind of nice. It's a unique thing. Although New Japan does do these round robin tournaments, seemingly in all of their divisions. Although this is the one that gets all the attention.
It's
an interesting thing to do. It's certainly a worthwhile thing to do. It's unlike anything else in wrestling. I mean, obviously TNA did their piss poor version of it, you know, heading into Bound for Glory for a couple of years, and you know, WWE's never attempted anything like this, and pretty much would never. So it's interesting to see how they do everything, because you have to actually. You know, Gato the Booker actually has to do math along the way and plan this out. You know, for pretty
yeah. You got to do some nice planning for that. You know,
you definitely like... do. It's so yeah. And then that way, yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's always, you know, very strong wrestling up down the cards. Yeah, no, I like it a lot. And you know, It's just at the point where it's just like, okay, I need to take a little bit of a break for this. If I hear a match is good, or if there's a match that really strikes my interest, I'll seek that out. But I'll probably take a bit of a break for the next week.
Okie dokie. Well, anything else to mention wrestling wise before we mosey on out of here?
No, not really. Best of luck to you. Have a safe and good trip through the southeast of our great nation. Also, a shout out to all of our listeners heading out to SCI, the SCI tournament in Cleveland. Not Cleveland, Chattanooga. Cleveland, everyone in Cleveland for AIW. Also, hope you all have a great time. Sorry about that. It's a lot going on. It's a lot.
Yeah, there is.
I'm not going anywhere.
There is a lot of professional wrestling. You're going to watch it on Fight TV. I am also. Hopefully, as we noted at the top of the show, Jeremy and I will record our opinions about it. I'm not sure how much Jeremy has watched AIW, so this could get interesting.
Yeah, I think he's developed a distaste for hardcore wrestling, so this might be an interesting thing to show to watch with him.
Oh, man. So, yep, we shall see how things go when that occurs. And
I want to listen to how Jeremy reacts to seeing doors used as weapons instead of tables. Because they save money, you know.
Yeah, I have no idea if he even listens to the podcast or not.
Yeah. No. Yeah, don't spoil anything for him.
I won't. Oh, man. Beltane Beer, same as last week. Cellar Dweller, Mary Morrow, New England IPA, 7.5% alcohol. Weird, indeterminate, really, IBUs, since they barely throw the hops in there. It is quite good. It is kind of interesting that it has a little pininess. Not really the case with most of the New England IPAs, so it sets it apart a little bit. Not too piney, though. So I will take it. Brand is at Stunt Granny. I'm at Frango11. He's at Chris Calamita. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.